It is truly a blessing to be back in the house of the Lord. And I give honor to my God, my Lord and Savior, the keeper of my heart, and for whom I would do all and anything. I want to thank the shepherd of this house, Pastor Baggett, for allowing me to be back this morning to speak, and thank Deacon Westbrook for the invitation. I'm going to get right on into the service because it's a mighty word from God today. As usual, God is always mighty. But I want to get right on into this, and just for a title, from the scripture that you heard, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10, just for a title, let's try called for a purpose. Called for a purpose. We all know that Jeremiah was considered one of the major prophets in that time. But Jeremiah, like most of the children of God, didn't recognize the power that God had and how he was going to use him. But you see, Jeremiah went and he said in verse 4, he said, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now we can just stop right there and see that God had already had a purpose for Jeremiah. See, God had to tell him in his own words what he knew about him before he even came out and started breathing air. See, and we're looking at this as what we call it, pastor's anniversary. Call for a purpose. Pastor's anniversary. Call for a purpose. This man been called to be the pastor. He was called to be the pastor. God knew who he was before he started pastoring. See, this didn't start out to be an anniversary sermon. But see, God can take things and make it work for his purpose. Call for a purpose. Pastor's anniversary. See, we celebrate things and sometimes we don't even understand the reasoning behind it. But God saw this man before anybody else could even think about it. And he knew what he would be doing at this time. Look at what he told Jeremiah. "I knew who you were in the womb. And on top of that, I already sanctified you in the womb." So he had already been appointed for a reason. And he hadn't even stepped on ground yet. Tell me about an awesome God that can already make plans for what you're going to do before you know you're going to do it. Jeremiah said, "I, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And we see that child and we think, children, toddlers. Jeremiah was being honest. He said, "God, I can't do this. Because I'm new at this. I'm new at this. I can't do what you would want me to do, God, because I'm new at this." That's how we are sometimes. God calls us for a purpose. He already know who you are. He already planned for you to do what he's going to do, what you're going to do. He's already ordained you to do it. And then we want to crawfish and back up out of it, don't we? God has already got a plan that has nothing to do with you, but with his plan. A lot of times we're going to be doing things for God that we had no idea. The difference is right now he's in communication with Jeremiah because we're talking Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet. So he's got to directly tell Jeremiah what he's got for him to do. We have been blessed with the presence of the Holy Ghost Spirit. So when God press upon us to do some things, thank God he don't have to come himself and say, didn't I tell you to do that?
That's a word.
Didn't I tell you to do that? The Holy Ghost is much kinder because he just reminds you. He takes you back to the word and he said, remember what the Father said? You need to be doing this, okay? You see how God was just straight with Jeremiah? He didn't have that. He didn't have that Holy Ghost interference. He just was straight with him. He said, I know who you are. You have no excuse. Oh, we like that too, don't we? We come up with some excuses for not doing God's will, don't we? We can come up with some excuses for not doing God's will, but let it be something I want to do. Boy, I run over you to get to do what I want to do. See, God doesn't need us to do what we want. He's called us for a purpose. He's called us for a purpose, children of God. And anytime this God, all-powerful God, already knew who you were when you was in the womb, he already knew who you were. This wasn't just for Jeremiah. He's telling me that he knew all of us who we were before we hit dirt. He knew every one of us before we hit the ground. Oh, come on, Holy Ghost. He knew what you're supposed to be doing before you hit the ground. He's already a plan for you. How often do we you're going to be preaching? Oh, I ain't preaching nothing. You're going to be doing God's work. No, not me. That's not where I am. I'm not there. We ran, didn't we? We avoided that. See, we avoided it because we wanted to do what we wanted to do. Had nothing to do with God, did it? But God said, I already knew who you was. And at some point, you're going to come up on that same even keel with the word, and you're going to become purposeful for God. And you still may not be where he wants you at, but you're going to be doing some things that's totally outside of your realm. Oh, come on now. You men of God ought to be screaming on that. See, because we all played that, not me. I'm not going to do that. There's some people out here right now in ministries, and they just stopped where they were. Don't realize that God got something further for you to do, but you've gotten satisfied in your ministry. You just stop right there and say, well, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. But see, in order for you to be effective for God, you got to enlarge your territory. You have to step out of that comfort zone. You have to seek a little higher ground and say, you know what? God, what is it that I'm really supposed to be doing now? Because I've gotten comfortable. You know when you've gotten comfortable with something. You know it. You know that if the meeting starts at 7 and you come at 7:10, you've gotten comfortable, didn't you? You've gotten comfortable, haven't you? Because you know before you got comfortable, you was at 5 till 7, right? Because you didn't want to miss anything, so you was hungry for whatever was going to happen. But then you got comfortable. So when you get comfortable, well, I heard ouch. When you get comfortable, you have to step out of that zone. It's fear in that too, isn't it? That's what Jeremiah was. He was afraid to do something because he felt like he wasn't ready. God has already prepared you for whatever you're going to do. I'm here to tell you, God has already prepared you for whatever you're going to do. You've heard enough sermons. You read enough scripture. You've sung enough songs. You've been to enough elderly help and food service and everything. You've done it all. God has already prepared you for what you want to do. Now it's time for you to get it up deep down in your belly, to bring it up from way down here, let it burst out, And be what God called you to be. Call for a purpose. Call for a purpose. This is the most important thing that we can be for God. Purposeful. Purposeful. Living just to be saying I'm sucking air is not purposeful. I have to say this because if I don't, then someone will think that I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm average. You know God didn't bring none of us here to be average, did he? We choose to be average. God didn't call none of us to be mediocre, but we choose to be mediocre. See, God didn't call us to half step, but we choose to half step. See, now we go back to that word choose. It's a choice. But if you recognize that you've been called for a purpose, if you know that God knew who you were in the beginning, when you was in your mother's womb, that's so powerful to me that every time I think about it, he knew who I was when I was in my mother's womb, and then he sanctified me. He set me aside, then he ordained me. See, he ordained you for a reason. It may not be to be a pastor. It may not be to be a choir director. It may not be, but he ordained you for a purpose other than average. And we play average so well. We do. We play average so well because it's a comfort zone for us. Children of God, I say that because this past week we had a young lady to load her children in her car. Rolled them down a bridge and killed all of them but one. And the hand of God was on that. She played average. She lost hope. God never intends for us to lose hope, because hope is the engine that drives our faith. All right. And then the people around her, and I'm listening up there. I was up there and I'm listening to the interviews. And they said, well, we knew something was wrong. We don't do anything because we've gotten comfortable watching wrong. We've gotten comfortable watching people suffer. We've gotten comfortable watching people stress themselves out. Because it's not me. Call for a purpose means that when you see someone that has a need, you don't let them put their kids in a vehicle and roll down the street and kill them all. See, that happened there, but that could happen here just as easily. Because until we wake up and realize that we're more than just religious people, there's got to be some Christianity behind that thing. There has to be some Christ behind that thing. See, showing up in church on Sunday and don't get nothing out of it is just religious. But when you start to let Christ rise up in that thing, you start to wake up and you start to become aware of what's going on around you, and you start to look to see who can I help. See, because when I start helping people, then my situation become unimportant. Oh, you don't hear me on that. When I start to help other people, what's going on in my life becomes unimportant. That's what God intended. Because while you're taking care of that person, guess what happens? He sends someone to take care of you. Oh, you don't believe that now? Try God. Try God and see what will happen. When you're in the midst of doing something for someone else and you done got your mind off what's going on with you and everything around you falling down, and the next thing you know, somebody come and just bless you. And God sent them. It wasn't because of you. It was because of God sending them for you. The same thing he did with you for someone else. But we have to wake up. We have to see ourselves as a blessing. We have to see ourselves called for a purpose. We have to know that God knew who we were in the beginning. And he's going to take this thing and he's going to run it all the way through. He did say he was the God from the beginning to the end. He's Alpha and he's Omega. He's all of those things. So if he's all of that, what would make you think you're not here for a purpose? What would make you think you're not here to help somebody? You know, that just tore my heart out when to hear people stand on interview. Yeah, well, you know, I saw her stressed out. She was working with the kids, and she was a mother working and going to school, and she was doing all of this. And what were you doing? See, I know that's harsh. We don't want to say that, but what were you doing? What were you doing that caused that person to lose hope in themselves and then take the lives of their children? What were you doing? Right here and now, we have people in this community that have a need. That have a need. We've been called for a purpose. And I promise you, it wasn't to sit on a chair. I promise you, it wasn't to do that. It wasn't to do that. It's comfortable. It's comfortable. But then when you get out of your comfort zone and you become personable and you say, God, use me. And you mean it. And you mean it. He didn't say you were going to quit sinning because he's already made provisions for that. He wants you to quit sinning. He knows you're going to quit eventually because in order for you to inherit the kingdom, you got to quit. But it's got to start somewhere. The imperfections of man will be made perfect through God. We have to recognize our purpose. We have to see ourselves, vision ourselves doing something. I'm so tired of talk radio. I'm tired of it because everybody can talk up a storm. But who can calm the waters in their doing? Children of God, when you make up your mind to recognize that purpose. Jeremiah said in verse 7, But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Do we know how to speak positive things out of our mouths? Do we know how to speak love out of our mouths? We play with that word, love. It's a word. It's a play. It's a play word. We've taken that word for granted here amongst ourselves. I love you. I love you. Don't mean nothing. Show me some love. Show me some love. You don't never have to say the word if you can just come. If you can just come up and that's it. That's it. Do you know that I'm willing to bet you? Now, this is what I believe. I believe that young lady, if someone would have came to her and just said, God loves you, don't give up, she would have been here today. She would have been here today. Encouragement. Where is it? Where is it? We've gotten so caught up in our own stuff that we don't know how to encourage people anymore. I can tear you down. I can break your heart. That's easy. That's easy. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do. We get on the way, we gossip about, oh, you know what Miss Mary did, oh, Lord. Instead of being on the other end going, no, I don't want to know what Miss Mary did, but let's pray for her. See, we have to learn this thing. We got to relearn this thing. Call for a purpose means that our purpose is a positive thing. Our purpose is from the belly. It's from the depthness of our spirits. It's from within our hearts. It's from where we do the things that edify God and his people. God and his people. Not me and God and his people. Because we want to be first in that edification, don't we? I want mine. You know, if they giving away cheese, I want some too. Well, how about you hand out some first? Hand out some first. And then see if you get some later on. If you don't get anything, it should be okay. You know, that was, what those three kids' name? That was in the fiery furnace? Yeah, you know, y'all know who they are. They're sitting there looking blank. What three kids? You know who they are. What did they say at the end of that thing? And even if he don't, and even if you don't get anything, it should be okay. It should be okay. We hold debates about that. Well, I gave this and I didn't get. So what? So what? Then you're not a cheerful giver. See, God's word is right here. Be cheerful in your giving. But if I give and I'm wondering why I ain't got nothing back, then you wasn't cheerful. That's why you didn't get anything back. Call for a purpose. We have minimized life so long that it's simple. Everything we do is minimized. It's tiny. It's only important in my world. Look at the big picture. Early on, I heard someone saying we need to pray for this nation. We do. We need to pray for this nation. There's some crooked people running this nation, but guess what, though? Call for a purpose, say, through your prayer. God will hear you and answer that. I do believe he told them that in Isaiah somewhere, that my people, if I hear your voice, call by my name, I will do this for you. We're his people. We've been called for a purpose. We're afraid to step out on that, though. We are because we don't want to do anything different than we're already doing. Ask Jeremiah. We don't want to do anything different than we're already doing because we know we're going to come into confrontation. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Why would you be concerned about how they look at you? Give them the word, tell them what they need to be doing in the word, and then bounce. See, the bounce part, you got bounce. Look at what Jesus did. Everywhere he went, he did something. He did not hang around and drink tea. He did it, and he bounced. He got on out of there because he didn't need to see the results of it. He didn't need to hear about the talk. He was moving and grooving and doing what the Father sent him to do. Sent for a purpose, called for a purpose. Yeah. We have to change the way we think. I know we've been raised through some hard times and we got some euphemisms that we learned growing up and everything. But we can change those things. We can change those things. And you know why we can change those things? In the word. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. We have the power. We have the power to change some things. That didn't mean mama and daddy and grandmama and granddaddy was wrong. It just means now we can step out on a little bit more of this thing because spiritually we're walking a little bit more deeper into it. We're coming up to a whole new level. And as we grow and we blossom in this thing, we become big flowers instead of little old potted plants. Yeah, we do. We like sitting on the ledge and getting somebody bringing us water. The sun come out and give us a little sun, and we happy being a potted plant. Try be one of those vines that grow and take off. Spread yourself out. The word is there. God gave us his word so that we would be empowered to change some things. He said, well, you know what? It ain't been all bad, and I know ain't supposed to be a bad word, but I'll say it anyway. It's not supposed to be all bad, but guess what, though? Can I tell you what empowerment, why things need to be changed? In verse 10, he says, see, I have this day set thee over nations. Stop right there and think about what God just said. In the beginning, he knew who you was. He sanctified you. He ordained you. And now he's telling you, I have set you over nations. Boy, that's a powerful place to be. That's power. But you got to be in him to be set over nations. Uh-oh. You have to be in him to be set over nations so that the things that you have to say, people will pay attention to it. And then when you go out to make change, don't make change because of your personal. This is what I want to see. This is what I think it should be. This is what I feel we should be doing. This will bless God if we do it this way. This will bless man if we do it this way. This shall edify the kingdom if we do it like this. Because when we start to put God in that, it becomes more powerful than what I want. Because what I want may not be what he wants. May not be what he wants. So I becomes a battlefield. But boy, when we can walk in there spiritually, edifying God, talking about the things that's going to bless the kingdom so that his people may prosper, so that their territory may be expanded, because we do have that power too. As we grow and we build, we get to expand their territories, don't we? And we didn't do it because of I. We did it because when we got the word that he said, I put in your mouth, and then I took it and I let it manifest into something great, then he prospered us to build, and then he allowed us to cause expansion of the kingdoms, and your territory shall grow. And guess what it costs you? Nothing but faith, obedience. Living in the word, walking in the word, knowing that you've been called for a purpose. You know, you hear people say, well, I don't know what God's will is for me. That is the most untrue story you can say. It's in the word. His will is for you to be obedient to him. His will is for you to follow him. His will is for you to serve him. Because once you get in all of those places right there, then he's going to use you. He's going to use you. He's going to cause you to do the things you're supposed to do. He's going to make you do those things because you're going to feel like you're out of place if you don't do something that God told you to do. You're going to feel like you're going to feel guilty. You know, I should have helped that old lady. I should have gave that bum them $2 I had in my pocket. And I told him that tale that I ain't have no more money. See, it's a way to do things. But when you get filled up with the Holy Ghost Spirit, not just in your shoes, but all the way up. All the way up. Then you look to see what you can do to be helpful in the kingdom. That's the difference there. Be a blessing. Walk in blessing. Look to be a blessing. Look to see who you can help. Look to see what can I do. Not so much as what can I get. I mean, you know, those are learned things. We learn those. We can unlearn them. We can unlearn them. You know why we can unlearn them? He goes on to say, On this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. To root out. It's some things in our lives that need to be rooted out. They need to be rooted out. And we do know that when you pull something out of something, it hurts, it's painful, it makes a difference. But you know what happens after the pain? You start to heal. So those roots need to come out of there. That's what the man of God that's been called is here to do. Jeremiah, that's what he told Jeremiah. Call for a purpose. He wanted him to root out some stuff that those people had in them. They had some bad stuff in them. They had some bad stuff going on in them. We got it today. We have it today. We need to be rooted out. So, well, minister, you talking about rooting something out. The word of God shall root it out. I don't have to do anything to you but love you, encourage you, teach you, feed you the word of God. But guess what the Holy Ghost is going to do that we have? He's going to root that stuff out. But you have to be willing. You have to want to be rooted out. You have to want to be cleaned up and made different. You have to make up in your mind that this time next Sunday, I'm going to be different than I was today. Any man, any woman that comes into the presence of Jesus Christ is different. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say or how you feel. You're going to be different simply because that's the effect that the Christ has on anything that he comes up on. Look at what he did to the Pharisees. When he walked in their presence, they immediately said, oh, why are you doing this? Why you want to change the way we've been doing things? He wasn't changing anything. He wanted them to be truthful. They changed themselves, though. They changed themselves because of his presence. That presence is in you right now. You've been called for a purpose. The presence of Jesus Christ is there in you right now. But when you step on the scene, don't go along with that laughing, cackling stuff. It's not cool. But I know it's not cool to be a Christian either, right? I mean, that's what's wrong with us. I want to have Christ, and I want to have the world. I think somewhere in Revelation he said, you lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. We lukewarm. God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He wants us to recognize the purpose we've been called for, and that's to be a servant. Then he says, and to pull down and destroy. Yes, empowered to destroy those things that are not of God. If there is something in your way that's not of God, you have the power to destroy that because you called it out. You say that's not of God. People don't want to hear you say that that's not of God, but you call it out and say that's not of God. Yeah, yeah. That is not of God. And then they'll look at you and leave. You just destroyed that because you proclaimed God in front of it. We have to change the way we proclaim God. Not in this quiet, peaceful way, but in this boastful way. Just like the sinner boasts about the things they do, we need to boast about God. We need to be powerful about that. We need to step up so that when those lost out there are looking for somewhere to go, they don't mind coming into a place where they know you're boasting about God. And your heart is to serve. Your heart is to serve. Your will is to do what he has called for you to do. And then he said to throw down. But then you're going to build. You're going to build. That's what Christ did. He tore it up and then he built it up. He built it up. We have that power. We have that power to tell someone you're not right about what you're doing, but let me help you. I don't want to see another mother. I don't want to hear about another mother having to drive off of a bridge because of lost hope. I don't want to hear about another person losing hope and they're surrounded by Christians and they lost hope. How can you lose hope and you're surrounded by Christians? People who proclaim God on the surface but don't want to take a chance on losing out on something themselves and doing what God's purpose is. And then he said to plant. Once you build, you plant that seed. Plant that seed back. You put it back in there. You plant God in there. And let them know that God will. God will. He will expand your territory to the point where you'll be sitting there calling back going, guess what happened? That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be a living testimony about what he can do for you. Amen. He wants you to be strong and empowered so that when you talk about him, you'll be able to tell him where you came from and where you are. That's what God's power is about. So often we miss out on that because we're not using the purpose. We're not living in the purpose. Call for a purpose. I know this is pastor anniversary, but just like he was called for a purpose, he was called for this. 13 years ago, when he accepted this calling to be a pastor in this church, it was God knew what he was doing. See, sometimes we question things. Well, why him and what's going on? You have no control over that. God knew what his mission was for this church. He knew what his mission was for this community. He knows what his plan is for this environment. And he took it one person at a time. He said, call for a purpose. And the one man who can testify to that better than anybody can is the man who's been called. He tells you about how he sat on that first seat. Had his Bible under his arm. But then that day, when he recognized it was time to do something other than sit on the front pew, God put it in his heart, put the words in his mouth, so that when he stepped up and accepted the responsibility, the purpose had meaning. The purpose had meaning. And here you are 13 years later and you look back. See, I wasn't here that first year, but I'm looking back from where I was and I'm looking at the fruit. See, we miss out on the fruit that hanging from the tree. When God calls you for a purpose, turn around and look at the fruit. Look at the fruit that comes when you serve God under his purpose. There's no denying fruit. Because from fruit you can tell where God falls in there at. Call for a purpose, children of God. Don't miss out on your opportunity to fulfill the blessings of God by not being in his purpose. Don't pass up this chance. So often we pass up the chance to be purposeful for God because we're afraid of what people are going to think about us. I know because I was there. We're afraid of the ones looking at us and sitting next to us or the ones who know where we came from. I don't care about people talk about what you did 20 years ago. How he get up to be a, who cares? God knows what he's using him for. Don't let someone prevent you from serving God because you're worried about what somebody going to think about you from when you was a child. Who cares what you did last month? God already got that. If God is going to use you, he's going to use you in spite of what you did. The worst thing we can do is not forgive ourselves. We say, God forgave me. They forgave me. But we don't forgive ourselves. And so we keep living in that dead spot. We keep living there. And I promise you, if you forgive yourself today, if you forgive yourself today, you'll see a change. Living proof, somewhere you have to forgive yourself so that God's purpose can take faith, can manifest in your life. And we won't forgive ourselves. That's our history. We carry stuff. We are the worst vagabonds in the world. We carry stuff from one train to the next. Get rid of that mess right now. Drop that stuff right now. Jeremiah was told that you've been called to root out. You got some stuff in your life you need to let go today. You got some things going on in your life you need to let go today. Forgive yourself for it. Forgive yourself for what happened 20 years ago. And then walk in the purpose of God and see what he'll do.
Forgive yourself for how you live. Forgive yourself. And when you forgive yourself, God will bless you. God will bless you because now you've unburdened yourself. You've taken off that robe of burden. Let it go. God has called you for a purpose. He knows each and every one of you. He knows you. And just in case you don't know, you haven't hidden anything that you've done from God. You know, just in case some of you think that you got a secret from God, you have no secrets from God. But if you go to Him and ask for forgiveness, then you forgive yourself. And watch God. When Nathan confronted David, he said, "You are the man. You're the man that caused all this havoc." And when David said, "You are right. I have sinned against thee." He said, "I sinned against God, not against man." He said, "I sinned against God." And when David said that, Nathan turned around and said, "But it's okay. God has forgiven you." Because he accepted some responsibility. He accepted responsibility and he started to change right then. We do know David wasn't he was a great man, but he wasn't perfect. David had some flaws, but he still was a man after God's own heart. This is the day. If you feel like you know that you've been called for a purpose and you're not walking in your purpose, now is the time. Now is the time. The doors of the church is open. Now is the time.